Well, sometimes consciously, often not, we show our truest beliefs of everything from compassion to betrayal through the quality of the relationships that we find surrounding us. So the first key in our exploration of the divine matrix is to simply summarize what it does. The divine matrix is the container that holds the universe. The divine matrix is the bridge between our inner and our outer world, between all things. And the divine matrix is the mirror that shows us what we've created. The matrix does all of these things at the same time. In other words, we're like artists expressing our deepest passions, fears, dreams, and desires through the living essence of a mysterious quantum canvas. But unlike a conventional artist canvas, however, which exists in one place at a given time, our canvas is the same stuff that everything is made of. It exists everywhere, and it's always present. Well, if we carry this artist canvas analogy even one step further, we find that the divine matrix offers us a very unique canvas, because traditionally artists are separate from their work, and they use the tools of their craft to convey their inner creations through the outer expression. Well, within the divine matrix, the separation between the art and the artist disappears, because we are the canvas as well as the images upon that canvas. We are the tools as well as the artist using the tools. What a beautiful, beautiful way of seeing our world and our lives and the way things work. Because just as artists refine an image until it's just right in their minds, in many respects, it appears that through the divine matrix, we do precisely the same thing with our lives. Through our artist palette of beliefs, judgments, emotions, and prayers, we find ourselves in relationships, in jobs, and situations of support and betrayal that play out with different people in different places. And at the same time, these people and situations often feel hauntingly familiar. So as individuals, we come together and we share our inner life creations as a never-ending cycle of moment layered upon moment, day after day, and so on. Just the way an artist uses the same canvas again and again while searching for the perfect expression of an idea. We may think of ourselves as perpetual artists. We're building a creation that's ever-changing and never-ending. The implications of being surrounded by a malleable world of our own making are vast, they're powerful, to some people perhaps even a little frightening. Our ability to use the divine matrix intentionally and creatively suddenly empowers us to change everything about the way we see our role in the universe. At the very least, it suggests that there's much more to life than chance happenings and occasional synchronicities that we deal with the best we can. Ultimately, our relationship to the stuff that everything is made of, the divine matrix that connects us to our world, reminds us that we are creators ourselves. And as creators, we may express our deepest desires of healing, abundance, joy, and peace in everything from our bodies and our lives to our relationships and careers, and to do so consciously when and how we choose. But to experience such possibilities, however, requires a subtle yet very powerful shift in the way we think about our world and ourselves. It's in that shift that our secret desires, our highest goals, our loftiest dreams suddenly appear within our grasp. As miraculous as such a reality may sound to you, all of these things and much, much more are possible within the realm of our divine matrix. The key is that we must not only recognize how it works, we also need a language to communicate our desires to this ancient web of energy, a language that it recognizes. To get an idea of our relationship to the divine matrix, it may be helpful to think of it as a really big cosmic blanket, one that begins and ends in the realms of the unknown and covers everything in between. The blanket is many layers deep, and it's everywhere all the time. It's already in place. Our bodies, our lives, and all that we know exist and take place within the fibers of this blanket. From our watery creation in our mother's womb to our marriages, divorces, friendships, and careers, all that we experience may be thought of as wrinkles in this cosmic blanket. From a quantum way of seeing the world, everything from the atoms of matter and a blade of grass to our bodies, the planet, and beyond may be thought of as a disturbance in the smooth fabric of our space-time blanket. Well, perhaps it's no coincidence, then, that ancient spiritual and poetic traditions have always described our existence in precisely the same way. The Vedic traditions, for example, describe a unified field of what they call pure consciousness that bathes and permeates all of creation. In these traditions, our experiences of thought, feeling, emotion, and belief, and all the judgment they create are viewed as the disturbances. They're interruptions in a field that would otherwise be smooth and motionless. In a similar fashion, the ancient 5th century text, the Sinsin Ming, describes the properties of an essence that is the blueprint for everything in creation. In this text, it's called the Tao. And just as we see in the Vedic scriptures, it's ultimately something that's beyond description. The Tao is everything. It's all that is. It's the container of all experience as well as the experience itself. The Tao is described as perfect, quote, like vast space, where nothing is lacking and nothing is in excess, end of quote. According to the Sinsin Ming, it's only when we disturb the tranquility of the Tao through our own judgments that its harmony eludes us. When the inevitable does happen and we find ourselves enmeshed in human feelings of anger and separation, the Sinsin Ming offers a guideline to remedy that condition as well. It simply says, quote, to come directly into harmony with this reality, just simply say when doubt arises, not to. In this not to, nothing is separate, nothing is excluded, end of quote. Well, I admit that while thinking of ourselves as a disturbance in a field of energy may take some of the romance out of life, it also gives us a powerful way to think of our world and ourselves. If we want to create new, healthy, and life-affirming relationships, bring healing and romance into our lives, or peaceful solution into the Middle East, for example, we must create a new disturbance in this field, one that mirrors our desire. We must create a new wrinkle in the stuff that everything is made of in our cosmic space-time blanket. Well, the key to tapping the awesome power of this divine matrix lies in our ability to embrace the 4 landmark discoveries that link it to our lives in what now is an unprecedented way. The first discovery is that there's a field of energy that connects all of creation. The second discovery is that this field plays the role of a container and a bridge and a mirror for the beliefs within us. The third discovery is that the field is said to be non-local and holographic. And as complicated as those sound, they're very simple terms. In other words, every part of this field is connected to every other part, and each piece individually mirrors the entire pattern, only on a smaller scale. And we'll talk about those more as we go through this book. The fourth discovery is that we communicate with this field, with this divine matrix, through a language that each of us already has. We're born with this language. We've had it since the moment we took our first breath in this world. It's the language of feeling and belief and emotion. Experiences that are thought to be unique only to us as humans. Well, we now recognize that it is our ability to embrace and apply these 4 discoveries that determine everything from our healing to our success. Ultimately, even our survival as a species may be directly linked to our ability and our willingness to share the life-affirming practices that come from a unified worldview and our understanding that begins with the blueprints in the divine matrix. Well, when we look at our lives from the viewpoint that everything is already everywhere all the time, the implications are so vast that for many, they're hard to grasp. It's precisely because of our universal connection that we're empowered to support and share and participate in life's joys and tragedy anywhere, anytime. So how do we make use of such a power? Well, the answer to that question begins with our understanding that there really is no here and there, then and now. From the perspective of life as a universally connected field of energy, here is already there and then has always been now. Ancient spiritual traditions remind us that in each moment of the day, we make choices that either affirm or deny life in our bodies. And within each moment, we choose to nourish ourselves in a way that supports or depletes us. We choose to breathe deep life-affirming breaths or shallow life-denying breaths. We choose to think and speak about other people in a way that is either honoring or dishonoring. Well, through the power of what scientists now refer to is our non-local holographic consciousness. Each of these seemingly insignificant choices that we all do every day, they have consequences that extend well beyond the place and the moment of our lives where we make them. Our individual choices combine to become our collective reality. And this is what makes these discoveries both exciting and for some people a little frightening. Through these understandings, we see why our good wishes, thoughts, and prayers are already at their destination. We see that we're not limited by our bodies or the laws of physics, at least the way we understand those laws today. We see how we can support our loved ones anywhere in the world, from the battlefields of Iraq to a boardroom halfway across the city without ever leaving our home. We see that it is possible to heal ourselves and others instantaneously, and it is possible to see across space and time without ever opening our eyes. This is our relationship to the divine matrix. We're given the power to imagine, to dream, to feel life's possibilities from within the matrix itself, so it can reflect back to us what we have created. Both ancient traditions and modern science now describe how this cosmic mirror works. Admittedly, while these studies may solve some mysteries of creation, they also open the door to even deeper questions of our existence. We clearly do not know all there is to know about the divine matrix. Science does not have all the answers. In all honesty, scientists don't even know for sure where this matrix comes from or how it originated. What we do know, however, is that we could study it for another 100 years and still not have all those answers. We know that the divine matrix is real. It exists. And because it's real, we may tap its creative power through the language of our emotions. And in that certainty, we can apply what we know in a way that's useful and meaningful in our lives. And when we do so, our connection to one another and all things can't be denied. And it's in light of this connection that we may realize just how powerful we really are in this world. From the place of strength that such a realization offers, we have the opportunity to become more peaceful and compassionate beings, to actively work and create a world that mirrors those qualities and more. Through the divine matrix, we have the opportunity to focus these attributes in our lives, applying them as our inner technology of feeling, imagination, and dreams. When we do, we tap the true essence of the power to change our lives and change our world. This book is a result of over 20 years of research and my personal journey to make sense of the great secret held in our most ancient, mystical, and cherished traditions. So if you're one of those people who's always searched to answer the questions, are we really connected? And if so, how deep does that connection go? And how much power do we really have to change our world? Then I think you're going to like what you're about to explore. The reason is because this book is written precisely for you. It's you whose life bridges the reality of our past with the hope of our future. It's you who is being asked to forgive and find compassion in a world that's absolutely reeling from the scars of hurt and judgment and fear. The key to surviving our time in history is to create a new way of thinking about ourselves and to do so while we're still living in the conditions that threaten our very existence. Ultimately, we may discover that our ability to understand and apply the rules of the divine matrix hold the key to everything from our deepest healing, our greatest joys, and even our survival as a species.